As a mom, you wear a lot of hats, and sometimes it seems like you're going in a million directions at once. At the 29-Minute Mom, we want to give you the tools to bring it all under control and reach your highest potential. If you give us a few minutes, we'll help you find those extra hours you need every week to achieve balance and satisfaction in everything you're trying to get done. The 29-Minute Mom. It's time just for you. And now, here's your host, life's organization expert, author, and coach, Jennifer Ford Berry.
Hey, everybody, this is Jennifer back again with another episode of the 29-Minute Mom, where we know every busy minute of your day counts. And I am excited to have another professional organizer on the show today. Her name is Amanda Warfield. So welcome to the show, Amanda.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Jennifer. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, we're glad you're here. You know, we love talking about organizing in this show. And Amanda is going to give us a whole bunch of awesome ideas. She's actually a simplicity lover, a capsule wardrobe expert, an online educator, and she happens to be the host of the Live Organized, Live Simple podcast. So check that out, Live Organized, Live Simple podcast. Most days you can find Amanda curled up with a good book, a giant mug of coffee, daydreaming about Disney, or snuggling with her cat and husband. And her mission is to help women that are overwhelmed and stressed out simplify and get organized in order to take back their time. We love that. Because time is the one resource we can't make more of. I 100% agree, and I'm so excited for our conversation, Amanda. So let's go ahead and just start off telling the audience. I know you're new to this organizing thing. You said you've been in the business for about 2 years. So what got you started in professional organizing?
So it's kind of a long story, but it's never simple, right?
No.
So I've always been very organized. I've been always been a planner. I was the kid in middle school who they gave you the free planners and I geeked out about it. So I've always been great about, you know, keeping to-do lists, staying on top of things, awesome at that. But I don't know if you're familiar with the Enneagram at all.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so I'm a one, which means that I am very perfectionistic. And my husband used to be in the Navy. When he first got transferred out to Washington State, which we're originally from South Carolina, when he first got transferred out there, he was deployed immediately for the first time. And I looked to other Navy wives and asked them how they got through deployments. And they told me that if you stay busy, it'll go by quickly. So me being the perfectionist that I am and slight control freak that I can tend to be, especially when it comes to planning things and to-do list. And, you know, the more I have planned, the more I feel like I'm on top of things. It was kind of always the way I looked at things. So in order to stay busy, I added a ton of stuff to my to-do list. I overcommitted myself in about 100 different areas, and it ended up driving me to the point where I got so overwhelmed. Even after my husband got home, he was gone for about 6 months. Even after he got home, things didn't get better because I had just dug myself into this hole that was so deep of perfectionism and trying to do all the things and please all the people and stay organized and efficient and on top of things. And it didn't get better when he got home because none of that's realistic. And it ended up coming to a head where he was telling me that I was being a perfectionist and I didn't want to hear it. And I got frustrated with the stuff that we had, because as a military family, you collect a lot of stuff, especially decorative things, because when you move from house to house, what works in one house decorative wise won't necessarily work in the other. You know, in this house, you may need a corner shelf, but in that house, you may need a big plant to go there or something. You never know. And so we knew that that wasn't our permanent home, that we would be moving again. And we had just been accumulating stuff every time we moved. And so I got really fed up with all the junk that we had. And I turned to my closet, which had always been a pain point for me because I had trouble dressing myself essentially and matching things and knowing what to wear. And I started just throwing things out. And that turned into a capsule wardrobe, which turned into me simplifying all areas of my life, which was just such a drastic change. My anxiety disappeared. I wasn't as stressed out as I used to be. I actually felt happier and present in my life. And the change was just so drastic that I knew that I needed to go out into the world and put myself out there and share this with other women, because I know so many women live in that overwhelmed space, especially moms. They live in this space where they're constantly overwhelmed and they're stuck in survival mode. So
yeah, that's kind of how I ended up here. I love that story. And, you know, first I want to just say, as to anybody that's listening that is a military wife, I want to give you a huge round of applause and say thank you for your commitment to what your husbands are doing or your, you know, family's doing. So good for you, because I know that's not easy, Amanda. I have one of my dear friends, Lisa McIntosh, who has done this for almost 20 years. They move every 3 years and now have two teenage boys. And I constantly think of how organized she is to pull it off, because she's moving different countries, different, you know, states all the time. And you're right. When you move all the time, you're afraid that you might need something in a different house, and you have to really be honest with yourself of what you're going to use if you are willing to take it and move it over and over. So these military wives, I feel like they've really got to be organized, because you just, you have to be ready for anything, right?
Yeah. You never know when the hammer's going to drop. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I think something, I just want to touch on something you mentioned for a second here that I think is really, really important. And I don't even know if we've actually discussed it on the show before, but the perfectionism that keeps you stuck when you're trying to get organized. I think a lot of times people do not want to even take a step forward in starting to clear clutter and getting organized if they're a perfectionist, because they're afraid they're not going to do it 100% perfectly, or they're afraid that if they let something go, it might be a mistake, or they're not going to have, you know, the home isn't going to look as, quote, Pinterest perfect. I always say that it should, because we live in a very visually based world right now. So I feel like, you know, it's interesting that you kind of overcame that by getting organized. How did you face kind of your fear of not getting it perfect at first?
I mean, quite honestly, it wasn't, I was so far gone down the road of perfectionism that there was no other choice. I felt like I was drowning on a daily basis, and I was so anxious that I wasn't sleeping. And if you're feeling perfectionism is in the way of your organizing, please don't wait until I did, because it was such a struggle, and it was very difficult. And it really, my perfectionism really harmed our marriage for a long time. Mm-hmm. So don't let perfectionism stop you, because nothing ever has to be done perfectly right off the bat. I was talking to someone yesterday who wants to make a career change, but she wasn't sure what to do and she felt stuck. And I really just tried to encourage her that it's okay to try something. And then if it's not working, you can pivot. And that's how I feel with organization, with the capsule wardrobes. It's not something that you do one time and it's done forever. You do it and then your lifestyle changes. And so you maintain it and you evolve it. And it's always a living, breathing thing, essentially.
Yes, absolutely. And we're going to get into the wardrobe capsule in a minute. I think the big thing too, that people that are listening that I want you to take away from this, is that you can pivot, like Amanda said. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was kind of a newly married wife, I remember just killing myself over, you know, if somebody were going to come over for dinner or we were hosting a party, just like the house had to be so perfect. Mm-hmm. And over the years, I've really learned to let that go, because you're going to, if you're having people over and you're being, you know, hospitable, you're going to mess up the house anyway. So now I'm more worried about cleaning up after the fact than I was, you know, 20 years ago, where I just had to, I just felt like it had to be perfect all the time. And I think, you know, sometimes there's a misconception with us professional organizers that we live these perfect lives. It's so not true, but we've learned what to decipher, what is important and what isn't in our homes. I think that's what really helps make us organized. So you're talking very much about the wardrobe capsule, and let's dive into that detail, because I know, that's a perfect example of really having discernment on what is important to you, being honest with yourself about what you're actually going to put on your body instead of thinking, oh, I should put this on my body because I spent money on it or it's in style or whatever your reasoning is. So go ahead and just explain to the listeners, first of all, what exactly is a wardrobe capsule?
So essentially all it is 30 to 50 items in your closet, and everything in your closet should be cohesive. It should fit with your lifestyle. It should fit with your personal style, and it should fit with your body shape. And those are kind of the key factors of cohesion, that plus a color palette. And that's really all there is to it. It's a simpler way to get dressed. It's a more simplified closet so that you don't have the decision fatigue of getting ready. You save yourself a ton of time because you're not trying to figure out what matches and what doesn't. And it also boosts your confidence 100-fold because you're actually dressing yourself in a way that fits you. Not only does it fit your body, but it also just fits your personality and who you are as a person.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk to the people that are saying, okay, that sounds great, but how did you decide what those 30 to 50 items should be?
So the first step to working on your capsule wardrobe is to declutter. And you're going to want to go through your closet and try everything on, which sounds like a pain and it can be, but block off like 3 to 4 hours, give yourself enough time to take everything out, try it all on. And if you don't immediately love something, it's probably time for you to donate it. Or if it's got a stain or a hole or whatever, trash it. But if you don't absolutely love something, there's no reason for you to hold on to it, right? Why hang on to something that's just going to sit in your closet and collect dust and, you know, give you these negative feelings? Maybe it's something that doesn't fit anymore and it reminds you that you wish you could lose 5 pounds. Or maybe it's something that you like, but you can't seem to make it work with the other things in your closet. And so then you feel guilty because you spent the money on it, but you're not wearing it. Our closets can hold so many negative feelings if we let it. So you want to go through and declutter all the stuff that doesn't fit you, doesn't fit your personality, doesn't fit where you're at in life right now, or the season even, and go through and get rid of all that stuff.
Even if you spent money on it, for everybody listening, even if you think you're supposed to wear it. I mean, sometimes we have to just let things go out of our closet because we don't even need a reason, right, Amanda? We just, for some reason, we don't even know why, we can't put our finger on it, but when we put it on, we're just like, eh, we're not our best self, we're not confident, we're not excited, right?
Right, and here's the thing about the whole, well, I spent money on it argument. It's sitting there in your closet, and this works for anything that you've bought ever, any item in your home, anything in your closet, whatever, but it's not sitting there in your closet and letting you pull a dollar out of it every day. You've already spent the money. The money's gone no matter what you do with it. And if it's just sitting there taking up space, let it go. Let it be a good lesson to be more intentional when you shop, but you're not making money by having it sitting there in your closet.
Right. And the only way you're going to, if you have the tag on it still, then, and you haven't worn it, which I see all the time, take that. Start. I mean, I really want to challenge everybody. Listen, let's be honest here this week. Take them all out, take them back to the store, and at least get some store credit. Even if it's the sale price store credit, who cares? It's sitting there because you bought it with the tags on it is complete waste of energy, money, and time and space, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so you're taking everything out. You're trying everything on. Obviously, this could take a while. So if you don't have 3 or 4 hours, just break it down into small bite-sized pieces, a half hour here, an hour there, set the timer, get it done, and then put back only the things that you love and feel good in. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then how are you going about when you're putting them back in there, how do you arrange your wardrobe capsule?
So once you've got it down to the items that you absolutely love, you want to look in there and see what colors you have because you want to create a color palette in order to make it cohesive. And this is one of the things that I think people really miss when they're trying to create a capsule. And if you don't have this cohesion, it's going to make your life even harder than it already is when you're trying to get dressed. So you want to make sure that you have a base neutral, which is either going to be black or navy blue. You can only pick one of those for the base neutral. And then you'll pick 1 to 2 accent colors, which can be pretty much any color as long as they go together and they go with the base neutral. Because you want, again, you want it to be cohesive, because you want to be able to pull out any top and any bottom and throw them on and be able to go. So you'll pick that color palette out. And then any other neutral colors other than black or navy blue are kind of freebies. You can use those as much as you want in your wardrobe, because obviously they go with everything.
Okay. And what's helpful is, I don't know if you've done this, but I have a good friend, Jenna, who is a stylist, and she comes to my home about once a year, and we go through my closet based on what kind of looks good on me, because I sometimes need another opinion, mm-hmm. Based on my body type, mm-hmm. and also the colors that look right on me. And she's the one that taught me that jewel tones look best. So if you have somebody in that, in, you know, kind of around you that's in your life that can tell you, because I know some of my friends, we do, a lot of my friends and I, we do these clothing swaps, and Jenna tells everybody what colors to wear. And some are more neutral based and they should be wearing neutral colors. Me personally should not be wearing neutral colors. Mm-hmm. So once I figured that out about myself, it made it much easier to let those neutrals go, because they weren't doing me any good. They weren't making me look my best. Mm-hmm. Have you ever worked with somebody like that as far as to find out what colors are best for you?
I haven't actually. So here is my take on it, especially for those of you that are listening that are perfectionists. Don't let not having that resource stop you, because a really simple way to find out what kind of colors to lean toward in your capsule wardrobe is to look at the things that you tend to buy when you shop. I know for me, every time I used to go shopping, I would tell myself that I wasn't allowed to buy any more blue because I had too much blue in my closet, which now, looking back, I'm like, obviously I should stick with blue because I like it and it makes me feel confident. So if there's something like that where you know that you always gravitate towards those colors, it makes you feel good. So you might as well just keep sticking with that color. If you don't have anything like that, you might want to look further into resources. I know you can type based on skin tone and things like mm-hmm. that, but whatever works for you that makes you feel your best is what you should do.
Yeah. Because if you don't feel good in it, you're not going to want to wear it.
Right. It doesn't matter what someone else thinks.
Yeah. Yeah. If you put it on and you don't feel good in it, you're going to take it off and put something else on anyways. Mm-hmm. So anything else that goes along with the wardrobe capsule and how people can start implementing this into their closet? What about shoes?
So I actually don't count shoes in my capsule wardrobe. The 30 to 50 items is just tops, bottoms, and dresses, which I actually have a free download for all of you. If you go to amandawarfield.com/Jennifer, you can grab it. It's a guidelines PDF where I break down the 30 to 50 items and exactly how many neutral tops, how many accent tops, bottoms, etc. And it's all a range. So let me, again, for the perfectionists out there, let me just throw that out there while we're on this theme. it's a range because your capsule wardrobe should be as unique as you are. And if you are finding pins on Pinterest or other blog posts that tell you that there are must-have items for a capsule wardrobe, or that you need exactly 33 items or whatever it is, that is a blog post you should avoid. Because like we've been talking about, everyone has different color preferences, different body shapes, all of those things. So your capsule wardrobe is going to be as different from your neighbors as from anyone else. It's going to be so tailored to you. So the PDF is a guideline to help you kind of get your feet wet. But if you want more neutral tops and less dresses, go for it. It's whatever. But so I've got that download for you guys so you can kind of get started with that. The typical items I include in the 30 to 50, though, is tops, bottoms, dresses, and then you've got accessories such as scarves, hats, cardigans, vests. But I will caveat it and say that when I'm saying things like scarves and hats and all of that, I'm not talking about the ones that you're using just to stay warm outside. I'm talking about the ones you're using to make your outfit cuter.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
And what was the name of your PDF that, because we'll put a link in the show notes.
It's just capsule wardrobe guidelines.
Okay.
It's super clever.
straightforward. Capsule wardrobe guidelines. We'll link to it. Like I said. So I love that. And I hope that anyone that applies this to their life will, you know, send us a comment, let us know how it goes, because it really is so much easier to get dressed in the morning and so much more peaceful to walk in your closet when it's not jam packed and that, you know, everything in there is something that you would actually want to put on your body. So I think it's really empowering to apply this and give it a try. Let us know what you think. So I want to move on to, time blocking, because I know that that's another thing that you love to talk about, and that you're really good at. So, you know, time management is just something that I think really helps us take control back. So if you are fighting with perfectionism, one of the most powerful things you can do is control your day, control your week, plan it out. And when I mean take control, it's like, I'm going to figure out my day before something else or someone else takes that time away from me, which will happen yes. every single day if you let it. I think time is the universal resource that we're all given the same amount of. So it doesn't matter where we're born, what color our skin is, how much money we have, how much education, we're all gifted the same amount of time, which makes it really amazing to me, because it's what we do with that resource that makes the difference between someone who has a productive life they love and somebody else that, you know, is just dreaming about doing things. So I think time blocking is a really important topic to discuss. So go ahead and give me your version of time blocking.
So what I do to block out my time is I have buckets essentially that are my life. I've got my business bucket. I've got my own personal bucket. I've got our household budget, which includes a variety of anything from laundry and the grocery store to putting the flea medicine on our cats, anything that I have to do to run our household goes under there. And then I also have one that is for my husband and can include anything from his school stuff that needs to be blocked into the calendar or just date night, things like that. And those are kind of my main buckets, and church stuff too. And so I take those, and when I'm planning out my day, I will block off different chunks of time in my planner. I have an actual just scheduler right beside my to-do list, which is so nice mm-hmm. because I can look at my to-do list and my time block at the same time, make sure I'm on track. But I'll chunk out an hour or two for household stuff each day typically. And that is when I know that I am using all of my productivity stuff and all of my efficiency and all my organizational skills, all throwing them together so I can get the most done in that 2 hours. And then when that 2 hours is over, I'm done. No matter how far I got into my to-do list, no matter what's left, any of that, I know that I have worked for those 2 hours and I've made progress, which is the key to this. I've made progress on where I want to be. And that is moving me forwards every single day.
Yes. So how do you plan out your week in advance, like on a certain day every, like do you do, when do you plan out your upcoming week?
So every Friday, I will plan out my upcoming week as far as my to-do list tasks. So I only put 3 to 5 to-do list tasks for each chunk of time, essentially. So I have one to-do list for work and one for home. And each one, I only have 3 to 5 items a day. So I'll plan all of those out for the week ahead on Friday, but I won't actually time block my day until the day of, because inevitably something comes up. Either my parents need me to go get my brother one day and I wasn't expecting it, or a meeting pops up. So it's just easier if I wait until the morning of and then I sit down and decide how I'm going to plan out my time. Mm-hmm. But I created an ideal time blocked week. So I have a general idea of what it'll look like each day. And then I fill in things like meetings and podcast interviews and stuff like that, that isn't any kind of consistency.
Okay. So you're say that again, you're taking something from, you know, each of those buckets and putting, you said 3 in each time block?
3 to 5 is typically my to-do list for the entire day.
Okay. And that, I'm sure, helps you keep a sense of balance, that you're tackling all the different buckets in your life, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. And I think that's really key, because when you look at a to-do list, a lot of times people just feel overwhelmed because we're not going to get to the end of it. Not today, mm-hmm. not ever, until we're, you know, in heaven. So basically you're, by doing it that way, you know, eventually you're going to touch on all the important areas of your life. It's not like you're going to neglect one and leave the other one left off to deal with itself, right?
Right. You're basically watering the grass in all the areas, so they're all getting what they need from you.
Yes. I love that you said watering the grass. It's a great visual because you don't need to water one part of the grass all day long or all week long. As long as it gets some water throughout the week, it's green. You know, it's staying green. I love that.
And different, it's like different plants. You have succulents don't need, I'm not a green thumb, so I might be getting this backwards, but succulents don't need as much watering as, I don't know. You guys know what I'm talking about though. Some things need more watering.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great, great visual I haven't heard before. What's something that maybe the listeners can take away today to improve their time management, it besides just the time blocking, that maybe they're not thinking of? Something that works for you and your routine?
Any kind of routine that you can create is really helpful. And I don't just mean the typical morning routines and evening routines, whatever, but if you can get it onto a routine where you're doing some kind of household management thing each day. So for example, every Wednesday, I know I make my grocery list for the week ahead. Every Thursday, I go to the grocery store. I can get those things done during the week and they take very little time out of that household time block each day. But I know that if I'm getting them done on certain days of the week, we're always going to have food. I'm not going to be sitting here trying to run to McDonald's or something for dinner because I didn't plan well throughout the week before. We're going to have the food. And then it's something that I don't have to think about because it's routinized. And I think that the biggest issue a lot of us have managing our household is the whole what do we eat tonight thing.
Yes, that drives me nuts.
It drives me crazy too. So if you can create some kind of rotational meal plan where you can plug and chug, try to do that. And that'll make that whole debacle so much easier. And then you get to the weekend and you don't have to worry about what you're eating next week. You already know, and you've already got a plan for.
Yeah. It's interesting too, because I noticed on one of your podcast episodes, you talked about organizing your brain and I feel, and just like how to quiet all the noise. Is this some of the stuff that helps you quiet the noise in your brain?
Yes. Anything that I can simplify and not have to think about quiets my brain so much because I'm not sitting there. Oh, don't forget to do this. Ooh, I have to do this still. Don't forget. Like if you're constantly trying to remind yourself to do something or thinking about something that needs to get done, your brain is going to feel really crowded. But if you can get anything that is repetitive onto some kind of schedule where you don't have to think about it until it's that day, I don't think about what we're going to eat until Wednesday. And that's the only day of the week that I'm worried about what are we eating.
Mm-hmm. So good. It's so good because it does free up that space in your brain and it declutters it so that you can focus on something else. Otherwise, you're just, and those are what, you know, those systems is what essentially they are.
Right.
Are helping you feel like you're in control. And it's also just kind of helping with that perfectionism. Like, oh, I got to get it perfectly. Well, if a system works for you, just keep doing it. Don't reinvent the wheel every week.
Right.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. So if people want to find out more about you, how can they go about that and tell us, you know, is there anything exciting going on this year for you in 2020?
Ooh, exciting things. So many. I'm a big dreamer, so I've always got all kinds of plans, but
tell us some.
Yeah, I'm getting ready actually to, as we're recording this, close up enrollment for my course, Your Cultivated Capsule Wardrobe, and I am going to totally revamp it, which I'm super excited about. We're going to do all new graphics and videos and modules, and I'm going to simplify it while still getting all of the really good information out there. So I'm super pumped about that, and that's opening back up in April. But that's a big thing that's happening. I'm also offering one-to-one time management coaching, which is brand new, and that's had such a good response in the last 2 months. So I'm super pumped about 2020. It's going to be such a great year.
Yeah. It's a great industry to be in, isn't it?
It is. And it's so, I feel so called to help serve other overwhelmed women because I was that woman. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, God has truly placed it on my heart to be out here creating all this free content, like with my podcast and different challenges and all kinds of stuff and being on other people's podcasts and these guides that I put out there and all this stuff. Like, I just am so passionate about helping other women simplify their life and get organized and take back their time. And I love watching, I love watching God work through that in other women's lives. I had a student in my capsule wardrobe course last year who her depression went away after going through the capsule wardrobe course. Not that, you know, the capsule wardrobe course is any kind of miracle or anything, but it helped show her how to simplify, and that bled into other areas of her life. And then, you know, one thing leads to another and she was feeling so much better. And that's just amazing to me. Just totally glory to God.
It is so true. And you know what? You know, I've been doing this for over 18 years. And one thing that's really changed in this organizing industry is that there are these online courses available now, which were, you know, they're just amazing because women have gotten busier and busier. Not everybody can afford to have a professional organizer. Not everybody has the time to organize all the time, you know, but they can look at their calendar and say, oh, here's a season where I can focus on this one area and getting this decluttered and organized. And it can be anything, but I encourage people to focus on the one that's bothering you the most because it will get the momentum going.
Mm-hmm.
So for these courses, you know, it's amazing. So if your closet's just driving you insane, then check out Amanda's, you know, capsule wardrobe course. I'll put a link in the show notes. You know, I just recently launched a paper project purge course. It's like, if that's driving you nuts and you can't get over the paper, there's help out there. You can get these courses. They don't take forever. They're very inexpensive and it helps you take your power back. They're really, really important for telling yourself that, hey, no, maybe I'm not, you know, great at this organizing thing, but I can learn how to get there. And there's people out there that will help me. So never feel like there's no help or just don't stay stuck. That's the biggest thing. Do not stay stuck. These are simple things. You don't want to listen to a podcast of, you know, like today, two professional organizers and think, oh, I wish I was like that and I can do it all this weekend. It takes time. It just focus on one area to until you get that area organized and then move on to the next. So that's my rah-rah for the day.
Well, and the beauty of these online courses is that there are so many different styles out there. You've got some that are totally passive, where if you're in a season of life where you're super busy and you can only fit it in when you can fit it in, then that's perfect for you. Or you've got others that are more of a live round type thing, where if you need accountability and you need someone saying, do this today, there's that. And it's just, there are so many resources out there for so many different type of people in different seasons of life. And there are so many educators out here and mentors, and I mean, I'm constantly learning. I'm constantly seeking out people that are just a little bit farther ahead of me to learn and to better myself, because it saves so much time to learn from someone who's been there versus trying to figure it all out on my own.
Absolutely. 100%. Well, thank you so much, Amanda, for being on the show. We really appreciate your knowledge. I'm excited for people to try to do the capsule wardrobe and time blocking. I know the both tools are extremely powerful. So I just appreciate you being on the show. I appreciate everything you're doing for women and for, you know, using it to glorify God. We appreciate just taking the time to be on the 29 Minute Mom today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yes, yes. And thank you for everybody listening. If you love the show and you loved Amanda, then please, please do us a favor and write a quick review. We'll read them next time on the show. And I hope that everybody listening has a wonderful day. God bless.